This is Debbie. I'm here with Anne-Marie.
Welcome.
This is Parenting Q&A Podcast, Episode 2. And this is the second episode in our first four of the foundational kind of basics we're talking about for our Parent Q&A Podcast. So our question, as part of our format, our question that we're asking today is, what is my job as a parent?
And I think really that this is a really important question to start with, because it is kind of like the big, big picture. What is my job as a parent? And so to answer this question, we are going to introduce one of our first resources. And this resource is a book by Paul David Tripp. And the title is 14 Gospel Principles That Can Radically Change Your Family. And I know that I have loved reading this book, and I refer to it so many times, and I've recommended it so many times. So that's going to be my very first recommendation, is to get this book and to read it and reread it.
Yeah, and use it, because it's great. So there's a definition he provides for parenting.
He does. And so get ready, because it's a big definition. So I'm going to say it kind of slow. So he says, your job is to do everything within your power as an instrument in the hands of the Redeemer who has employed you to woo, encourage, call, and train your children to willingly and joyfully live as disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ.
That is a mouthful.
That's a mouthful.
Yes.
And I feel like, I don't know, as a listener, you might be like, oh, like
that's heavy.
That's a big job.
Yeah.
Yeah. But the reality is, it is a big job, but it is a job that God promises to equip us with. And so that's kind of our first conversation we're going to have today, is what does that look like then?
And around that principle. Because I think sometimes too, you go, well, that's the church's job.
Mm. Yeah.
It's not the church's job.
It is not the church's
job. The church is a community of believers.
To walk alongside you.
Walking alongside each other. And they're walking alongside you in this parenting journey. But you are first and foremost, we as parents are first and foremost, the discipler of our kids. And that comes in a lot of different roles and looks to it. It doesn't mean that every second of every day that you are reading scripture to them.
No.
What that means is you are demonstrating the gospel as much as you possibly can. And that comes out in parenting in all different ways. So the first thing we're going to talk about is the fact that parenting is not an event. It's a process. It's a long range plan. Okay. So we are looking at the fact that any one given event is not necessarily something we depend on to get the things we want from our kids, right? Whether it's respect, and we're going to talk about that. But it does give us information. An event gives us information that feeds our tools as parenting. So we better know how to address certain issues with our kiddos. Right?
Right. Because
they're telling us in their behavior, whether it's good or bad, they're giving us things that we can use to help us understand how to navigate this journey better. So the first thing we need to do is understand it's a process.
So that means that our goal then in this long process is that we're going to see progress, both in our skills as parents and then in our kids, right? We're wanting progress and not perfection.
That's
perfection
right.
is not our goal, which is important to keep in mind. That's not our goal for our podcast either.
That's right. So, and you'll find that out really fast.
Yeah, that won't take you long.
No.
Progress is what we're going for. But that is an important thing to remember as we are in this big picture of parenting. So let's introduce kind of one of the main concepts that Paul David Tripp talks about in his book, because I think it does a great job to kind of help us to understand the differences in what our natural tendency is to think about as our job, and then maybe a different viewpoint as to what our job is. And so the first thing he talks about is that we have a tendency to view parenting with an ownership mentality. And he defines it as, ownership parenting is motivated and shaped by what parents want for their children and from what they want to receive from their children. So that's the definition. And I think that if you were to kind of describe an ownership mentality, that on the outside, this sounds good, right? Like, it sounds good that you would want your kids to be good to their friends, be good citizens.
Make good grades. Be successful at school.
Be kind.
Be kind to others. Be obedient.
Oh, that would be great.
Be obedient. Right. I would love for them to do what I say the first time. I think
everybody is in agreement on that one.
That's right. We enjoy that for sure. And it's things we would want our kids to do to make us look good or to make us feel good. That's the ownership mentality, right? But on the kind of surface level, they're not bad things to want for our kids.
No, they're not.
They're not. And so we have to kind of understand that. But an ownership mentality can feed our need for control. It can feed kind of the baser kind of instincts we have when it comes to parenting based on things like family of origin and other issues that we will talk about in other podcasts. But it's kind of our default position.
It is our default position.
And then the second one that Paul David Tripp talks about, which is the kind of the opposite of the ownership or the owner mentality of parenting, is the ambassadorship, the ambassador way of parenting. And that model looks vastly different than the owner. So tell us about the ambassador model.
So the definition for ambassador model is you're motivated and shaped by what God and grace has planned to do through us in our children. And I think both of them, it really at the heart of it goes to what's motivating us. So an ownership mentality is more motivated by what we want, right? Where as an ambassador, we're motivated by what God wants. There's a big difference on that. And like we said, the ownership mentality is kind of our default. That is the way that we just operate. Ambassador mindset, that takes some intentionality.
And it means we might be uncomfortable sometimes.
Well, and I think maybe it would help if we kind of just took a second to think about, like, what is an ambassador just in our normal world kind of thinking? So if you think about an ambassador that is from the United States that is going to France, for instance, right? Mm-hmm. So what's their job as an ambassador? Well, their job is to represent the United States, right? So they're supposed to be that one that would reflect what does the United States...
What do we value? What do we care about?
Right. What do we want to accomplish, you know, in this relationship between France and the United States? So that the ambassador isn't the one making those decisions. They don't get to decide what those goals are. They are reflecting the goals of the United States. So if we are that ambassador for Christ, then that means then our motivation is not what we want so much, but what is it that God is wanting for our child? What is God wanting to help them to see in the way I live? As their ambassador, it means it matters how I talk, what I say, the way I respond, who I'm pointing them to, those conversations that I'm having, because my job is then to reflect Christ. And we already said, we're not going to do this perfectly. If we were able to do it perfectly, then Jesus wouldn't have had to die on the cross for us.
That's right.
So,
and it takes intentional work. We're a work in progress as parents too. We're not going to be perfect. There's a lot of grace, as we talked about in episode one, that's extended to us here by God's grace. So what does that look like even in these hard interactions? How can I demonstrate that I love them more than I love myself to my kids? Because it's not about my comfort. It's not about whether or not they respect me. It is about how am I demonstrating the cross in my interactions. And that is demonstrated the best in the hard times, not the easy ones.
No, this is
true. So this is kind of what we're talking about when it comes to that ambassador versus owner. And so then the challenge is, we also feel like, Anne-Marie, as we're talking, that parenting's a calling.
Right.
So it is a calling. So the challenge is then, if you really view that as a calling, like I'm here as a disciple maker, is it a calling you're willing to change and grow for? If you're working from an ownership model and not an ambassadorship model, what are some of the traps that you'll fall into, Anne-Marie?
Well, I think first of all, the first trap is we don't ever really think about what our job is. Like this is maybe the first time you've ever even thought about that question. Like outside of, well, my job is to feed them and to keep them clothed and, you know, make sure they, you know, get their homework done or stay out of jail. Like, I mean, really just to think about what is my job as a parent. So that, and the reason why that question is so hard for us to think about is because the mundane day-to-day events that grind that we are in as parents, which some days, you know, you fall into bed at the end of the day and you're just so glad to go to bed, and that at least for the next, you know, 6-8 hours, your parenting job is done. For that, you know, you're just praying that they do not wake up, that I don't want to parent anymore for the next 6 to 8 hours.
Those of you newborns, we're sorry. This does not apply to you.
Okay, 3 hours, 2 hours. But do think that it is big, one of the traps that we fall into is that we can just operate in this, you know, repeat, 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 just doing the same thing over. And we don't take that time to really ask that question. So a good kind of question to ask ourselves is, you know, God forbid there was a camera on us and people were watching us and looking at the way we parent, what would they say our parenting goal is? What, by the way, I'm parenting? And that is a hard question. And I know for me, as when I was a young parent, this, I don't think I really had thought much about that at that time with my first child. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the pancake child, you know, the one, you know, you're learning.
Yeah, that's right.
You're trying to figure out what you're doing. And so that is one of the traps, is that we just don't take time to even think about the question.
And we get stuck in the mundane and the things that we want to see every day. And we're kind of back then in our default positions of parenting and we're just surviving.
Right.
And that is a trap that we all fall into. And there's seasons of that anyway, but it should be seasons.
Right.
If you find yourself perpetually in a roller coaster of parenting where you're not sure what your job is and you're constantly discouraged or feeling kind of ashamed or inadequate, then you know you've fallen into the kind of this trap. And this discouragement can be paralyzing, right?
It can be. And I think that's a good point.
Keep us from making changes.
That's a second trap, I would first say for sure. That
we get paralyzed by that.
We can get paralyzed and feel just the guilt of not doing everything that we think we're supposed to be doing. And I think that one of the goals that we have within our podcast is to help us to see that, for one, God never, ever gives us a job without giving us his help alongside of us. And he didn't choose you to be the parent for your child out of a mistake. He didn't choose it because he thought, oh, here's somebody who totally can get this down. That's why I'm choosing you. He already knew when he chose you to be a parent that you weren't going to be able to do it so well. And one of the things that I know I learned even in my first of being married was that this idea of being married or this idea of being a parent isn't just about my own happiness. Like, actually, God is using my parenting to teach and grow me. And so in the process of teaching and growing me, I'm teaching and growing my child as well. And that means we're probably going to feel inadequate at times.
And that means you're going to make mistakes.
Right.
I mean, so falling into kind of the trap of I shouldn't be making any mistakes, my child needs to look and behave perfectly, is kind of the last trap we're going to talk about. It's just how my child's success, my child's popularity, my child's how well they do at sports, interact there, all that matters most. And so then there's four things that can get wrapped up in. It's identity, work, success, and our reputation. And we're going to talk about that more in other podcasts too. And Paul David Tripp talks about this a lot in his book, just how our identities and our work and our success and our reputation matter so much, and they're caught up in our family and what the members of our family do or do not do correctly and expectations we have with how everyone is supposed to look and behave. And so it's sometimes if we get caught up in that, in that particular trap, because those things become so valuable to us, then we do lose sight of the big picture.
Yes.
That we talked about earlier. And so it is important then in those moments to remember our job. Okay. And our job that we've outlined earlier. So then we go on to tips. And our first tip is what Anne-Marie talked about a minute ago.
Read the book. Parenting and 14 Gospel Principles That Can Radically Change Your Family. And if you just want to take a little quick preview of them, you can go to YouTube and just Google the name of the title, and he'll kind of walk through just little bitty snippets for each one of these 14 principles. But I will say, you're not going to get the whole thing by just watching that little bitty YouTube.
You'll get the shallow end of the pool.
You will. So I have recommended this book to several different people that I know, and everybody says, like, I really wish I had read this book, you know, 30 years ago when my first child was born. Like,
oh, I
wish I wish I had that, because I think that does help in so many different ways. And so it's such a great resource. Can't recommended enough.
So we would say that's our first tip.
Right.
Our second tip is just start kind of on your own. Kind of do some little homework kind of on yourself a little bit. Look for daily opportunities to talk about God with your kids. So an example of having a gospel conversation with a three-year-old, Anne-Marie, would look like what?
Well, you know, I think a big part of when you're with little kids is that you just talk about it with anything and everything. I mean, even water boiling. I mean, just think about you're cooking together and the water starts boiling. You could talk about how, oh, look, there's a process. Look at, you see the water that's making steam. And did you know that's kind of how God makes clouds? And God's the creator of everything. He has a plan and a purpose. And it can be really short, doesn't need to be preachy. You don't have to spend a lot of time thinking about it. But just start asking those same questions about, you know, what does this show me? What does this look like when I see certain things? And just talk about God, make him real in your family. Talk about him.
And then when you're talking about elementary and teens, those conversations look different.
Absolutely.
Is how we model the things we would like to see in our kids, how we model those ourselves, and how we model the gospel. And so when you're talking about having conversations with teens, it may be you're in a car ride and you're having a brief 4 or 5 minute conversation about something that happened at school. But your response now is what you're thinking about, even more than just your words, your reactions, your facial expressions,
your tone,
your tone of voice. All that comes into play as these conversations become harder and deeper and significant. They're going to be peppered through your day, right? So it's just being prepared for those. So we're saying now maybe just, you know, look for opportunities to do that. What does that mean? And ask the Lord, pray to the Lord to prepare your heart and how you can be open.
You know, with your teens too, like just talking about your own relationship, you know, talking about modeling, you know, do they get to see us reading our Bibles? And do you ever have conversation about something that God taught you? Are you able to be humble with them that you're a teachable person as well? So that's a great place to start as well. And then I think our last tip that we have for today is this idea of humility. You know, pride is one of those horrible things that just kind of creep up on us.
Pride will hijack.
I think C.S. Lewis talks about how, you know, if you think you're not prideful, then you probably have a big prideful problem.
It was Benjamin Franklin's quote, right?
Yeah, I think
so. He said, I've realized humility is impossible because if I'm truly humble, I think I'll be proud of my humility.
I think that's right.
So it's true. I mean, but being conscious of the fact that you're not perfect.
Right.
And so requiring perfection of your children is actually not realistic because your own life is a demonstration of how unrealistic that is. And so as parents, it's so important for us to be humble, I think.
And that kind of looks like start asking ourselves some questions about what are the things that I can control and what are the things that I can't. And I think when we really look at that, there's very little that we actually have control of. And when they're little, maybe we can physically remove them, but that's really not the same as control. And if you've been around a three-year-old or two-year-old having a tantrum, I think you've often feel like I am not in control of this situation. I wish I was in control, but I am not in control of this situation.
Yep. So those are the things we would, from this particular episode, we would recommend kind of going, doing some headspace homework, read that book and do some real quick introspection for a little bit. And then the truth that we're kind of leaving everybody with as we close off this particular episode 2 is kind of what we define the parent job at the beginning as. That's the truth that we're saying in reality, if we are parents who are believers, if we walk with the Lord and we want our children to walk with the Lord, then that means our parenting looks different than it would otherwise.
Right.
Right. So what's the, you had something you wanted to leave everybody with, Anne-Marie?
Well, you know, I think, like we said, we get kind of caught up into this idea of spending our time telling our kids what to do and how to do it. That tends to monopolize our attention. But our job is to make disciples. And in Matthew 28:18-20, we hear, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." This is Jesus talking. "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." So God has given us this great, wonderful job as parents to be disciple makers for our kids. But he's reminded us, "I am with you in this big job, and I'm not leaving you alone."
Hey, that's so good. That's good. That's good. So that is it. That's our wrap up from episode 2, everybody, where we answer the question, what is my job as a parent? We've got 2 more episodes in this foundational series that you can click on after this one if you still want to hear more. And then we've got other series coming. But that's it for this one. We'll catch you next time.